This week on Art in the Air, our entire show features the Chicago-based La Tosca Italian Mambo Ensemble with its founders Andre Falcone and Stephanie Pilak, with a musical repertoire often found in a Parisian or Neapolitan cafe. Our spotlight is on Dune Summer Theater next production of God of Carnage with artistic director Steve Scott, plus details about their June fundraising gala.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, our weekly program covering arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air streams live at WVLP.org and is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m., plus is also heard on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. We'd like to welcome back to Art in the Air Spotlight, Dune Summer Theater, and they're going to continue with their second production of the season called God of Carnage, and they're going to tell us a little about that. Of course, we have the artistic director, Steve Scott, and that's going to be running June 17th through July 3rd. So tell us about this comedy there, Steve.
Oh, wow. It's one of the best comedies, I think, to hit the stage in the last 20 years. God of Carnage is about two sets of parents. And they have a problem to solve, which is that their 10-year-old sons have gotten into a fight. And now the parents are trying to find a way of kind of diplomatically solving the problem. But as they talk about the problem, they start to become kind of 10-year-olds themselves. And they become more enmeshed in fights than their children have been. So it's kind of an interesting reversal of roles. It's absolutely hysterical. I first saw it in London, where it premiered a number of years ago. When I was at Goodman Theatre, I produced it, and it was extremely successful there. It's been done all around the world, and no matter where you're from, no matter what kind of parents you are, if you have parents or if you were a child, you will understand the problems in this play. It's just a brilliant comedy, being directed by Susan Padveen, who is the head of the theatre program at Columbia College in Chicago. Columbia College is, by the way, the largest theater program in the entire world. They have hundreds of majors. Susan worked for us a couple of years ago doing Other Desert Cities, which was really lovely. And I think she's going to be fantastic in her role as director of this. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think it's going to appeal to almost everybody. So there you go.
What was the original language it was written in?
It was written in French. It's written by Yasmin Nina Reza. And so its first performance was actually in Paris, but then it was translated by Christopher Hampton, who has translated all of her works into English. And the translation, I don't read French, but I am told that the translation is even funnier than the original French. So it's quite an enterprise.
Tell us about some of the cast members you have in that one.
Oh, wow. They're all from Chicago. They're all professional actors in Chicago working in various theaters around. Mandy and Kara and, oh my God, I don't have their names in front of me. David Stivelberg, whom I've worked with before, and one more that I can't think of.
Christy Coran.
Christy Coran and, yes.
Glenn Thompson.
And Glenn Thompson, who was actually a student of mine at Columbia College. They're all very well known in the theater community in Chicago, so which is a plus for us because it, the more people who know about us, the more people hopefully want to come work with us. So it's always nice to bring outsiders into our family.
And that other voice you heard was Elise Kermani just giving us the information about that. Now, you have something else coming up. You do an annual gala, and that's primarily a fundraiser, but you're also tying that to a show. So we might as well talk about that one also.
Sure.
Tell the details of the gala and the detail. I don't know if, Elise, you want to talk about the gala, and then you talk about, well, it's connected to a grand night for singing.
Well, I'll talk about grand night, and then Elise can give you all the details about how to join us for that. Grand Night for Singing is our third production this season. And it's a compilation of the works of Rodgers and Hammerstein, kind of two of probably the most beloved composers in the American musical theater in the 20th century. So you'll hear lots and lots of songs that you already know from South Pacific and The Sound of Music and Oklahoma and all of their other wonderful productions, but interpreted somewhat differently from the way they were in the original production. So it's kind of shining a new light on the brilliance of Rodgers and Hammerstein. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I think anybody who loves music, anybody who loves musical theater is going to love this. But what's really exciting to me is that we're devoting our opening night to our annual gala at the Duke, which is a fundraising venture for us and brings in lots of money, hopefully, to support all the programs that we do. So, Elise, can you talk about
Steve,
what's
going to happen with
that?
Yes, he's the MC.
Yes, go ahead.
Steve is being yes.
Yes, I am the MC. Yes.
And we're going to have a really great raffle. No silent auction, we decided, but we will have a raffle. And I don't have the details on that yet to talk about, but we'll be open 1 hour before the show. And you can get tickets right on our website, dunesarts.org. And I just also want to mention that we've been partnering with some local restaurants. So our bar will be open the whole summer, 1 hour before the show and probably after the show as well for wine and beer and snacks, as well as we're going to have some nice food for the gala as well.
And where are you having the gala at? Are you having that at your facility or where are you?
We sure are. Yes, we are. We are in the middle of renovations, but we'll be halfway there, maybe.
Yeah. But we have a lovely patio area. We have a lovely lawn area, which we used for performances last year. So it's a great setting for this London lovely musical and for this wonderful party that we're going to have. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Perfect.
Yes, it does. I know it's maybe early to ask this question. Plans for next season already? I mean, are you thinking about way ahead for what you're doing for next year?
I have a list of things that I'm looking at that I'm going to work with Elise on and with the rest of the board. So probably as soon as Grand Night opens, we'll start planning next season. And hopefully we can get that done in the fall so we can announce and then start working on that. We never stop at the Deuce Theater. We only perform in the summer, but we're working year-round.
Very good. And you always need to bring the bug sprayer along because if you're watching, are you guys back inside yet?
We are inside.
Ah.
Yes. We loved being outside last year, but there were bugs. And we also had the rainiest July in Indiana history. So half of our performances of Midsummer Night's Dream were rained up. So we want to avoid that this year. So we're bringing everything inside. But hopefully the party can take place both outside and inside.
Excellent. Well, that's Dune Summer Theater talking about The God of Carnage. That's July 17th through July 3rd. And opening then July 15th through the 31st of July, a grand night for singing. And on the 15th is also the wonderful little gala. Thank you so much for coming on Art
in
the Air.
Larry.
Thank you,
Larry.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's always so nice to connect with you.
Oh, good. Yes, it's good to see you too, Esther. Thank you.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Larry and I would like to welcome Andrea Falcone and Stephanie Bielak of La Tosca Chicago to Art on the Air. La Tosca is a little orchestra, the kind you could find in a Parisian café chantant. It is a unique historical and geographical fusion of musicians from Italy, France, Poland, and America, presenting songs that are a consequence of collective memory combined with their individual musical sensitivity and initiatives. La Tosca performs a repertoire from the 1850s to the 1950s, from Italy mostly, but also adds in some French gypsy jazz, tango, and Neapolitan classics. I say listen and be transported. Welcome, Stephanie and Andrea, to Art on the Air. Aloha.
Hello.
Ciao. Buongiorno.
We all like to start is we kind of want to know about your background and history, both individually and then collectively. And I always like to say how you got from where you were to where you are now. So ladies go first. Stephanie, tell us all about yourself.
All right. So I was born and raised in France to Polish parents. So I was born and raised in a quite Polish community and traditions. And I started playing violin when I was about 7, 8 years old. I picked the violin because my father told me it was the kind of the king of instrument in orchestras because there were so many of them. And so I enjoyed the idea of like maybe having a crown one day. and so I became very, very, very serious about that. Yes.
So did you favor any other instruments before your father said it was the king of instruments?
Not really. I didn't. Honestly, I was unaware even of music, if I may be honest. I was, but once I heard the violin, I was very, very serious about it and was practicing twice as much as my teacher was telling me. And my father played a little bit of clarinet, so we would play duets a little bit together that he would have to transpose. And then I have two sisters that each play an instrument as well, flute and piano. Okay. And so we would make little orchestras in the house.
Yeah, that's very complimentary, those instruments.
Tell us a little bit more about your schooling and what you went to school, both elementary, primary, all the way up through maybe college.
So I was raised in France, as I said. So I went to school in France in countryside schools at first. And then because I became quite serious about music, I joined a high school that had classes only part-time. So we would work from 8 a.m. to noon, and so that we could dedicate the afternoon to our activities. So some of my classmates were at the Paris Opera. Some of them were in the Olympic Games. And so we all had specialties that we were focusing on in the afternoon. And after that, I studied a little bit of law. I actually started a degree in law, and I moved to Canada for my undergrad in violin performance with a Russian teacher called Vladimir Lantzman. And then I moved to DePaul for another violin teacher here, Ilya Kaller.
Wow.
Excellent. Well, let's move over to Andre, the other portion of our interview. Tell us about your whole life journey, how you got from where you were to where you are now.
Madonna, it's a lot of coincidence happening, but everything starts from my parents. So I come from my father that is from Sicily, and my mother that is from Sardinia. They met in Milan, and that's where I get raised and I studied at school. I have to say that I never studied music when I was a kid, just flute in the elementary school. But I get closer to music because when I was going out to the friends when I was a 10 or 11 year old, there were a lot of people from Senegal and Burkina Faso that were playing percussion in drum circles. So that's how I get close to music. I started with a djembe and flutes, actually. And so that's my way that I get close to music. In my life, I study history of photography and the history of art. And in general, I get a degree on that. I finished the university in the Accademia di Belle Arti di Brera. That it's in it's a really nice school in Milan, funded by Napoleon, and I finished my degree there. I started to teach history of photography, and music is present in my life as an hobby, as a passion, since I'm probably 9 or 10 years old. And I think that I pick up the accordion because in Milan, now less and less, but you have a lot of street player, especially from Romania, that play accordion. And a lot of time they're like 1, 2 or 3 player that are performing in the street, and and that's probably how I get fascinated by the instrument. And I have to say that I started also in those years when I was 12 or 13, my passion for Neapolitan music, because in one rural community of Tuscany, I had the occasion to meet a person that was, you know, it was a countryside worker, but he was a really good performer, a singer and a guitar player. And I remember that I had a cassette player at the moment. And I recorded a few of those nights with then coming back home with the necessity of discover this repertoire. Later, I discovered that this repertoire, it was from one of the best Neapolitan authors that is called Roberto Murolo, that is really someone that remake the history of Neapolitan, of the Neapolitan songs. So that's a little bit how I came out with this mix. So, yeah.
I just want to briefly, since you brought up a photography, do you do photography yourself or did in the past?
Yes, I've been working as a fashion photographer for most of my life since I came to the US. Yeah, I was in the last period, I was teaching photography to the course of fashion design and fashion stylist in Milan in a school that is called Istituto Marangoni. And I was doing a little lessons, a little course that was theoretical, explaining the history of photography, so representing the main authors of the history, to then guiding the students in finding their own style through those key authors that I was explaining to them. So it's I kept doing it here in Chicago. I have to say that I'm doing more for musician, a little bit less because probably music now is taking up most of our time. So it's yeah.
So how did you wind up in Chicago from Milan?
I met an ex-girlfriend in Santiago de Chile, where I was working as a freelance photographer and teaching part-time in a school. So she was a teacher at the University of Chicago, and it happened that they called her to move back here in Chicago. And so I decided, why not trying the city? And then the story didn't keep going. And fortunately for me, in my way, I found that one day, Stephanie, in a shop that is, it was an historical shop of music that it was in Michigan Avenue. You probably all know this shop. The owner was Sherry Brenner, and he had been the first one to host concerts of Andrea Segovia and to sell guitar to him. He was having a flamenco lab where he was inviting dancer and performer from Spain in the 50s, 60s, if I don't go wrong. And the shop was active until a few years ago, and that's where I met Stephanie. And
I was teaching there.
She was sitting there, and I was almost deciding to come back to Argentina or to South America because I really enjoyed my experience there as a photographer and as a musician. But then I found Stephanie, and here I stayed.
And magic.
And the life-changing thing. Real quick, I want to go back. Canon or Nikon?
Ah, Canon.
I knew I liked you from the start.
Canon, yes.
Because if you're going to shoot... You shoot with a Canon.
Yeah, for me, because it's the same with music. I don't like too much post-production, and so I like to do already the setting with my medium, and the Canon just allowed me to do that. And
yeah, it's sometimes it's also just what you started with. So I have cameras all the way back to the AE-1 era and everything like that. Well, I think, Esther, why don't we set up the first song and take a listen to that and let you do the explaining.
Maybe you can. It's that I think it's translates to a little kiss of Bachami Bacina. So can you maybe give us a little background on that song?
That's a song that a lot of the rapper, as this song, as a lot of the repertoire, they're songs that my grandparents know, and they used to sing it in the home because they're the songs of the war period. So it's music that is, this song specifically is from the 1932 from an author that is called Alberto Rabagliati. And it's a song that they were just singing when they want a kiss from us and we were kids. And they remember this song from when I was a bambino and getting it back like a few years ago, it was 7 years ago that I released to that and imagining, the tense situation that was going on in Italy and the vibrant rhythmic that it's on the song and the energy that it's inside, I feel it's a timeless song that put together a little bit of the what jazz happened to have as situation and context in Italy and what was the American jazz. I feel that it put together both of the dimensions. I feel it's an interesting song because as all the songs that have that were in swing or with this upbeat rhythmics, it had to be in Italian because Mussolini during the dictatorship put a law where he was forbidding to perform and to compose any kind of song in a foreign language. So as this on Baciami Piccina and a lot of other songs that we had to translate in order to be represented in Italy, I think that it's a tension that generated a lot of creativity in the time because there were not freedom, unfortunately, as we have in nowadays. And I think that this constipation, I would say, gave the opportunity to a lot of creativity to pop up. And this song, it's one of them. Yeah.
So amazing that you really need sometimes these songs that are so exuberant to get you through horrible times. And it's like almost a contradiction, like all this music comes out. It's like a difficult time. So
people were needing probably to dance over these kind of rhythmics, really to liberate themselves from the frustration of being hiding what are the truth that they were keeping in themselves, I think.
Well, here it is, La Tosca Italian Mambo Ensemble here. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
And we're back. That was from the first one we're going to showcase today on Art in the Air from La Tosca Italia Mambo Ensemble. And I guess the question should be, how did we form the group? I mean, you both were playing instruments. You've met each other in Chicago. We got that far in the story. But how
and
did
then how do you find all the others?
Right.
Ed, I have to say that how do I found all the others and how do I play all the others? It was mostly, proudly in the streets, I would say, because there were one time, for example, my guitar player, that is Bo Boleski Osinski, they play guitar and trumpet. One day I was with my father visiting me in Chicago. We passed from the underground Wonder Bar and we heard a trumpet and, a loud concert going on. We step inside and we found his band performing. It was a Brazilian band. And so, after the concert, I wanted to compliment him because of the energy of the performance was really nice, and I never heard trumpet with those influence, Latin American influences, but also jazz. And so I told him, I play accordion and I would love to make one at one point a project where I performed the Italian music from the 20s, 30s and 40s. And if you might be interested. And so, he was the first one to then deciding to come back in my house for a rehearsal. He told me, yeah, I listened to the song from Renato Carosone and I really love the authors. I love Tu Vofale Americano because it's a song that it's incredible, but we all have this song in our mind in a way. And so I would love to try that. And he also took with him Minor Swing from Django Reinhardt, that it was not a song that I was really familiar with, but I was really interested to the rhythmical. And so that's how it started, for example, with him. Another soon after I found I remember I was waiting in a place that it's called Pizza Metro, that it's a pizza place. I was working as a waiter and I started to chat with a Mexican guy that his name is Antonio Rangel. I asked him, I play accordion just in the discussion, he told me that he was playing percussion. And I also explained to him the idea that I was really missing the music from my country and if he would be interested to take part of this musical project. But it was really a discreet way. I never studied music. And a lot of time, those musicians that I found on my way, they were professional musicians. So, the approach, it's more for an enjoyment that I was asking to them, with not the final goal to have a sellable product, but just for having fun, because I always saw music as something that bring together people and different cultures. And the precious fact of finding Boleski Osinski, that he was from Poland, grown in Albuquerque and playing the trumpet as he would be a person from Latin America, and Antonio playing percussion as he would be, with a passion from jazz, polka, but being Mexican and so having those musical influence, it was already like a sparkle that was making something interesting in those rehearsals in our home. Chaotic, and in one of this chaotic situation, after that I met Stephanie at the shop, I told her, sometimes we are meeting up with a few friends to play some song from Django Reinhardt, from some Italian authors, why don't you join us? So she came, and the first two or three times she didn't play the violin because it was too chaotic. It was really cacophonic sometimes.
I'm sorry. It was also very loud, and at the time we were acoustic, and so I was like, there's no way I can... it was loud because it was crowded. It was loud because you guys are loud. Yeah. And so, no. But I wanted to. And then it was wonderful because I was biking everywhere at the time in the city. I know it was not very safe, but oh, well. I was doing it. And then I would come back in the middle of the night with my violin on my shoulders, biking back and, singing Saracino and other songs, in the street, out loud because no one else was there. And it was, really... powerful memories and powerful songs that we were sharing. And at the beginning, I was shy, shy. Yeah, it was not exactly my domain of expertise. Let's say I was trained to read music, play opera, symphonies, concertos, whatnot, a lot of different styles. But someone telling me, listen and play, where is the music? I'm sorry. I was so confused.
No one of us was reading music. Just Bo, for example, this guitar player, but the other, no. So there were no option of reading it.
There was no support.
So, yeah.
It's like a fabulous combination of kismet and intuition and the music. I mean, because I think, Andrea, you just, I mean, you hear it and you know that there is a compatibility and a simpatico with these other musicians. And so, and then to hear you, Stephanie, saying that you were singing it out loud. And that's how I feel when I listen to the music. I mean, it just really sticks with you and gets inside of you and you can't help it. I mean, throughout the day, I just feel like I've been on a holiday or something when I've experienced your music. I just so appreciate it.
That's how those jams felt to me. And those jams were mostly in the summer. And so riding back, like with the heat of the summer, with the darkness, and it was quiet, and I was still in the trance with these songs in my head. It was absolutely fabulous.
Yeah.
You're listening to Art in the Air with La Tosca Italian Mambo Ensemble, featuring Andrea Falcone and Stephanie Pilak on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
And the mix was really interesting because when I came here, I didn't know nothing more than tarantella, pizzica, and tamburiata. They're three different styles from mostly from Naples, you know, like in Sicily, some tarantella from Sicily too, but I didn't know any jazz song, any, you know, like you know, my art will go on with from Celine Dion and some other yeah, that's not even jazz, but just few other, all of me, I didn't know any of them, so I was new to everything. And those jams, Antonio was playing some son jarocho from Mexico, and so the mix was really like spontaneously going in the direction that you could just go, you know. There were no pretension to make a common repertoire, because there was our personal history was so different that at the end the repertoire, it was a little bit of everything. And to put comfortable each one of us, you know, like you do a little bit, you talk a little bit, I talk, and a little bit, you know, like it's like a talking.
So did you sing from a young child, or when did you start singing?
I think from when I was I think 13 or 14. Yeah, in this drum circle, there were always a person from Senegal singing, and I always was impressed by the power of a voice that can go over like 10 percussions. And I was playing the flute, in fact, together with the singing, because they were the only two instruments that you could hear over this strong sound. So, yeah, more or less, I would say that 13 or 14, but without any school, without any lesson and consciousness, just the necessity of performing this music that I heard. And the first song that I sing, it was the Tarantella del Gargano, that it's a song from the 1400, they say, from Puglia, I remember.
Ooh. And Stephanie, do you sing other than in the middle of the night all by yourself?
No, I wish, and that's a little dream without any pretension. It's a dream, and I think one day it will happen naturally. But actually, during the pandemic, you can't hear it on the CD, because the CD is from 2019. It's from a live performance we did in early 2019. But after the pandemic, I started playing mandolin. And so now in our concerts, we include mandolin. So I'm not yet vocal, but I hope one day it will happen.
Yeah. You know, I think the accordion in history has, you know, people, you hear accordion and you think one thing, but it's an instrument with such extreme sensitivity. I just, you know, one of my favorite people plays accordion out here in Northwest Indiana. It's just like such a beautiful instrument. So was that a family? Was it also a family instrument or?
No, not at all. I think that I really get close to the instrument because in Milan, when I was a kid, there were a lot of refugees from Romania that were playing accordion in the street. I always saw this instrument from little kids playing it, or more, you know, sometimes it was the full family playing in the train or in the tramway. And unfortunately, they were always persecuted from the police because unfortunately we had a really high taxation on music in Italy. So it's forbidden to perform in the street. And so, I don't know, I always was fascinated about the object itself and for the power that can have have. It's like a magic box. It looks like a typewriter, but you can but it really chelates a sound that it's mysterious, because also depending from how much how you are moving, the volume is going to change the intensity of it. So it was it's not a family instrument, but since I'm a kid, I always look at it as a magic box. And by reading the history and by knowing also the technology that's behind it, just really fascinating, and it all melted together then with the fact that I wanted to continue to study it. But it's really interesting. You know how it came, the accordion, probably here in the US. I don't know if you hear this story, but they say that a German priest was in a church that had a broken organ with a lot of loose reeds, you know, like the reeds that are in metal. Yeah. They vibrate inside. He just made a prototype with one of these objects that you used to put air in the flames.
Like a bellows, yeah.
A bellows, exactly. He just used that for two or four reeds in order to create a bourdon to singing the mass in the new continent. So at the beginning, the pilgrims didn't have money to carry an organ, you know, like to celebrate the function. And so this prototype started to have success, and it started to become developed because it was a carryable organ, you know, like, so they were able to sing in the mass with just this small object made with reeds from an organ. So from an organ, you could get like 10 accordions because you can get the reeds.
And so portable.
Yes, and so portable, yeah.
So this, it's actually a great thing to talk about right before this next song, which is Hungarian Csárdos is the next song. So, and that is sort of what we were talking about, that region of music. So is there anything you would like to say about that song before?
Yes, actually, and it's ironic because this particular Csárdás is actually composed by an Italian composer, Vittorio Monti, in 1904. But I think one thing I noticed is that at the time, like in the 19th century, the second half, the tradition of importing little motifs and styles from the East, like Turkey, Hungary, Romania, dates from that. Mozart was already doing that, but in the 19th century, there's and beginning of 20th century, there's many composers actually who composed either Hungarian dances, Romanian style dances, and in general what they thought was gypsy. So you have the Spanish composer, for example, Sarasate, who composed Sigonar Weisen, which is the trip of the gypsies. There is Ravel, who composed Tzigan. And so there is a big tradition of importing like kind of gypsy music. And so that's what he did. He composed it in 1904. And Csárdás literally means Hungarian dance. It's a Hungarian folk dance. And so.
And let's take a listen to it. Csárdás from La Tosca Italian Mambo Ensemble. Thank you. And we're back from that. This is Tosca, Italian Mambo Ensemble on Art of the Air we're listening to. And that was Tardos. Excellent.
So invigorating.
Oh, yes. So tell us about your production of albums and things. I think you have your first album out, or how many albums you got, and where they're available?
Yeah, for now, we have one album that is available on Bandcamp under La Tosca Chicago, and it's a live recording that we did at the Hungry Brain in 2019. So we had a problem with recording an album. That's why we have just one. Because with our performances, it's really necessary. Not necessary, I would say, but in a way, yes, the response of the audience. Because also the repertoire that we decide to perform, it depends from the response of the audience. So we saved that. We try to record our music in a studio, you know, everything clean, with the guitar, with the right solo, with the right solo of the accordion, with the best voice, with, you know, with the prepare, but it's not the same of a live performance, I would say. And we tried several times, and we keep trying it, but now I think that we all agree that a live performance and a live recording, it's our format. So we called it Prima Vera, because it's the first real that we have in a banal name. And I decided to make the graphics of the album inside and outside. I bought a book about the Sears and Roebuck catalogs of the 1932 of here in Chicago. And the catalog, it's really like a sum of all the objects, all the fashion styles, the graphics, designs that it was used in Chicago in those years, where I'm performing the music. They are the same years that my music is from. And so I decided to melt them together, because it's a necessary melt. Sometimes when we play our repertoire, I imagine that some of the song, the polka, the mazurka, the waltz, were actually performed here in Chicago, because there are testimonials in the Columbus exhibition in 1890 of Sicilian mandolin player coming here in Chicago, performing for the Columbus exhibition and playing this repertoire. And in the same year, Giovanni Gioviale, it's a composer that we are performing, actually, with Stephanie playing the mandolin. It's from the same years. So I thought that this graphic and musical work were getting along together. And so that's how I decided to do the graphic of the album, inside and outside. And inside on the LP, now I don't have one in my hands, but I decided to use the logo of the city of Chicago, because I love this design. The incorporated seal, I don't know how you called it, but it's
the city seal. Yes.
The city seal of Chicago.
And it's fantastic, because there is a native, there is the ships, there is the environment of Chicago, there is the lake, and there is a little kids dreaming in a shell that is on the top. Almost had a little poetry on the top. And I really love the logo. And on the back, in fact, I put an image of the view that they had, the architects, when they did the Columbus exhibition, they planned to make a little river where they were going like gondola boats on the top at the Columbus exhibition. And I decided to put that in the back of our album, because I think that that's the kind of music that you will listen while you go with a gondola in the back of the Art Institute in the 1890s.
And it's so beautiful and impressive, and it makes me so happy. Along, like I told you, your website, it just brings me so much joy to navigate it and to look at it. And I felt the same way about the album cover as well. It's just really well done. So can you tell us about how, okay, so you and you and Stephanie meet and you run into all of these other people you would admire? And how do you start working together? And what are those first performances? And so what can you give us a sense of how it all comes together?
So what I like about La Tosca is that it's kind of a family that accepts anyone who wants to share what they like, what they're from, where they're from. So the way it works most of the time, and that's how I joined La Tosca, is that I went to see a performance of Andrea in an Italian restaurant. I didn't think he would actually recognize me because we had met maybe a couple of times, but I was there to listen to the music. But he invited me to come and play with them. So, you know, we would rehearse a couple of songs along with our guitar player, Bo, and some like another bass player that we had at the time. We rehearse a few songs and then we bring them to 4-hour long performances at the restaurant. And so, of course, it was difficult because we had such a small repertoire, and then you have to invent on the spot how to entertain the customers and how to pair it with the dinner, so to speak. And so let's say that this process happens every time we incorporate a new musician, a new family member. We really view it like a family because we really care about each other. And then sometimes one of the musicians moves out of the city or moves out of the country, and then they're always part of the family, though once you have played and once we have built something together, it never goes away. Did I answer the question?
Yeah. In fact, I think that you answer well. So yeah, that's basically, we have no, now from, 4 years, we have no rehearse anymore with the La Tosca, because we love to do a lot of a restaurant gig, because it gave us the opportunity to experiment. There is no pretension from the audience to be there to see something, a delicacy. And so there is the open-mindedness atmosphere to being able to try whatever you want. And if you do something good and something catchy, they're eating, but they're going to be distracted and they're going to be pay attention to that. That's my philosophy that we're using for our restaurant performances. And that's how I invite the musician to join. Not all the musicians feel comfortable to do that, but usually that's how I try. Or of course, we tried before at the house, but for me, I love also the first impressionism of the first time, you know, like of coming and not being aware of what's gonna happen in a way.
You're listening to Art in the Air with La Tosca Italian Mambo Ensemble, featuring Andrea Falcone and Stephanie Pilock on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
But what I like also about La Tosca is that exactly like in family dinners where you have like little fights and debates and whatnot, it's the same with La Tosca. We have different concepts. I was trained where everything needs to be planned and secured and things like that. And Andrea, on the opposite, he loves Fellini movies where you never understand if he meant to include that in the movie or like, and so like the sense of like making the show, the pre-show, the show, making the show a little bit chaotic so that people,
that it's part of the show itself, you know, like as seeing the preparation of the show when the curtains should be closed and everyone are dressed up, like, but they're already open.
The concept
and everyone
of the
can
off,
see the
right.
So that's for example how we were gestionating a jam session every Saturday night the last summer, that the people see also the preparation, you know, the dynamics that go between the groups, but everything on stage. And I think that sometimes it's a precious moment to see from people that are not used to be confronted, but
even that is a constant discussion, because like, so I know what his desire for what his concept is, and we watch movies together. So I see a little bit what will catch his attention and what he will be inspired by. And sometimes I'm like, I don't feel comfortable with that, or I would like to do it more this way. So, but it's interesting because it's dynamic and it's different. And sometimes we do things a little bit more my way, sometimes his way, sometimes another musician's way, because they have also phenomenal ideas as well.
Yes, so, and in fact, there is a difference.
So you were at I saw a little clip of you at a grocery store or something, and you had turned on your video, and a lot of the adults are walking by, but this father and daughter, she was maybe 2 years old, walking by. She is walking past you, and she starts to dance and skip and just, and you can't see her because you're facing one way and she's heading out the door. And a few minutes later, they come back in and they put some money into the hat, you know? And I was just like, it was such a precious, it was so precious that, you know, all these adults walking by, but this two-year-old caught the wave.
Yeah. But, you know, that's our privilege to be playing in so many different settings. And really, for us, it's quite precious to play in restaurants or in grocery stores or anything, because we get to see people we wouldn't necessarily see in a concert venue, because concert venues are targeted. The promotion is targeted. So you don't get out of your box, so to speak. Last summer and this summer also, we will keep playing for restaurant terraces, notably in Wicker Park, notably for Tortello, which will start soon on Wednesday nights. And for them, weather permits, we play outdoor. And so we have all the passing
the street
experience. And so, and well, we do that even when we don't play for restaurants. But but anyway, we have all the pedestrians passing. So families, dog walkers, like people from even more different backgrounds. And it's interesting to see the ones who stop and film and take a picture. And then like you know, you saw them an hour ago and then you noticed that they just sat on a bench right next to us and that they have been listening for more than
half an
hour.
Yeah, there are a lot of hidden listener that hide in the street where you perform, and it's really fantastic. They can be coupled, they can be just someone by themselves enjoying the music but not wanted to be seen that he's enjoying the music. So it's it creates a lot of sparkle, and I think that there is a kind of poetry that came out of a street performance when it's unexpected that you can't compare with something else. And also some people sometimes they have reaction, but reaction like they have to say something, and I feel it's always interesting in good and in bad, you know, like, because sometimes it's also nice to put yourself in discussion and to be complained to someone to see which is the reality, because that's reality. You are not gonna be always welcomed in some situations, so I feel it's a nice experience for me, for the musician and the audience that it's seeing also this relation.
It's some of my most memorable instances are street music, whether in the Parisian subways or, you know, on a street corner and I don't know, the Seine or something, you know, it's just so memorable.
I used to be one of these.
When I was 14,
I was playing every summer under the Eiffel Tower, playing some Irish and Gypsy music, because those were the only things that I thought were appropriate under the Eiffel Tower.
And in fact, my memory is of a violinist, and I think it, because I was staying by the Eiffel Tower actually, and it was a violinist that I just will never forget. So that would be kind of fun if that was you.
Well, we almost have to wrap up here. We were going to play out with one more song, but tell us how we can find your music, tell about Bandcamp, your website, all that in just about 30 seconds here.
Ah, bene. We have, I did a website that is called latoscachicago.com that it connects us also to our Facebook that is still La Tosca Chicago, and on Bandcamp. We have our album Primavera, and soon we're working on the recording on a new one. So there you can find also the rest.
And you can find also our concert dates because there are going to be some very exciting concerts coming up soon. So you can go on the website or on our Facebook to see that.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank you for being on Art in the Air. That's La Tosca Italian Mambo Ensemble. We have Andrea Falcone and Stephanie Pielacock. Thank you so much for being on Art in the Air.
Thank you so much. It's been so much fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can hear more La Tosca Italian Mambo Ensemble music, their entire album called Primavera, released in 2019 on Bandcamp, and you can also purchase it there. You've been listening to Art in the Air, and we'd like to thank our guests this week on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, our weekly program covering arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP. Art in the Air streams live at WVLP.org and is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m. Plus is also heard on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, WVLP station manager, and Tom Maloney, vice president of radio operations for Lakeshore Public Radio. Our theme music is by Billy Foster, with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. Underwriters for Art in the Air, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments, and Mary LeVan, Arts Patron. Art in the Air is always looking for financial support. We'd like to thank our current supporters. If you're looking to support Art in the Air, Esther and I especially would invite you to become an underwriter of this program in particular. We have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA. You can find out support information there. So don't just be an Art on the Air listener. Become a supporter or underwriter in whatever amount you're able to do so we continue to bring you this great content and this great local programming. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good, and you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck, BRECH.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air, our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.